That's the heart of this season of Lent, this time that we rejoice that God gave his Son that we could have life, that all of the things and all the ways that we have failed to live as God would have us live, that God gives us forgiveness and peace and healing. And so we continue our journey through Lent this morning with the story of Jesus coming into the temple. We're in Matthew chapter 21. We're going to look at verses 12 through 17 of Matthew chapter 21. It's found on page 955 of the Bibles in front of you. Matthew 21, verses 12 through 17, and there we read this. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what the children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise? And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. So a few weeks ago, I had a meeting. I had brought donuts to the meeting. And at the end of the meeting, my son walks into the room. He's 2.5. And he naturally spies the donuts on the counter, the whole box of them. I was probably a good, 15 to 20 feet away as I see him reaching for the box of donuts. Now, I'll tell you, I knew he was going to be okay, but I don't know that you've ever seen me move so fast as I did across that room to save the box of donuts from crashing to the floor. Now, of course, the reality is I would do the same if my son was actually in any danger, but at that moment, I knew it was more about saving the donuts than protecting him from the cardboard box of donuts. The reality is that when we care about something, and sometimes I'll admit I care about donuts a little bit too much, when we care about something, we will do what we have to protect it and to take care of it, right? This is why there's the stories of parents miraculously lifting cars off of a child because of the adrenaline that rushes through their body to protect and care for that child. When we care deeply about something, we will do anything and everything that it takes to get to them, to take care of them, to protect them. And I would suggest that part of what we are working towards as followers of Jesus Christ is having such a heart that has been so transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ that we would have that same attitude and posture towards anybody who doesn't yet know the love of Jesus. Andy Stanley, who's a pastor down in the Atlanta area, he sort of famously says of their church, we will do anything short of sin to reach people for Jesus Christ. We will do anything short of sin to reach people for Jesus Christ. What he means by that is that when it comes to how we do church, when it comes to how we walk as followers of Jesus Christ, anything and everything, if it is not contrary to the will of God, anything and everything has to be on the table as something that we are willing to do differently if it means that we can reach somebody with the good news of Jesus Christ. Because that is why we are here. That is the heart of our mission. That is who we as followers of Jesus Christ are called to be, would be people who would do anything and everything, who would rush across the room, throwing tables out of the way if we have to reach somebody with the good news of Jesus. And I think that's what we're going to see in this passage that we read this morning from Matthew chapter 21. I think what we see in Matthew chapter 21 is that Jesus clears the barriers that were keeping people from encountering the presence of God. And so the goal for us this morning is to ask ourselves, what do we need to clean up in our lives? What do we need to clean up in our lives that's keeping somebody from encountering Jesus? So we're going to get there. Matthew chapter 21 takes place immediately after Jesus has entered into the city of Jerusalem on what we know of as Palm Sunday. Right, on Palm Sunday, Jesus rides into the city and the crowd proclaims him as king. They declare that he is the Messiah that they have been waiting for, and they shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And in the Gospel of Matthew, the next thing Jesus does is go straight to the temple courts and clear it out. Well, let's think a little bit about the temple courts. Right, the temple was not just like the ancient church of Israel. The temple was the place where God dwelt symbolically, right? We talked about that at the very beginning of the service, that God's presence was with the people of Israel, and that was in the tabernacle and then the temple. And so the temple was the place where you went to encounter the presence of God. It was the place where sacrifices took place. But the temple was not just a church, but it was symbolic of the place where you went to meet God. And so the temple was arranged in different sections. And so the outer court was called the court of the Gentiles. The outermost areas of the temple was the place where anybody could go, where that's the furthest some people could go to encounter the presence of God. The outer courts, the court of the Gentile. So the further you go in, it begins to narrow down who can go in. So next you enter into the court of the women. And next you come to the court of Israel, which is just for Jewish men. And then you come to the holy place, which is only for the priests. And then at the innermost sanctum of the temple, you come to the most holy place, which was divided from the holy place by a heavy curtain. And that was where the presence of God was understood to be on earth. And the only person who could enter into the most holy place was the high priest one time each year. And so Jesus is in the temple courts, the court of the Gentiles, the furthest section out, the place that is meant to be where anybody and everybody can come and encounter the presence of God. This is as close as some people can come to the presence of God at this time in religious history. But what's happening there is that people are buying and selling. I don't think this is a command against having a bookstore in the back of church. I don't think this is about that there's like a marketplace going on. No, because remember that at this time in Jewish religious thought, the way that you worshiped God was by bringing sacrifices. Now, Jesus has entered into Jerusalem because it is the week of Passover. And as the week of Passover, there are people who are coming from all over the place to come and worship God and to celebrate the Passover. And if you're coming from far distances to celebrate the Passover, one of the things that you might not do is bring your sacrificial animal with you. Because the scripture commanded that the sacrifice that you offer be without blemish or defect. And so imagine, if you came all the way from as far away as India or as far away as Rome, and you travel this long distance to come to Jerusalem, and you get there, and what's going to happen on the way? You might lose the sacrifice that you had brought with you on the boat from Rome. You might have that animal get injured in the desert on the way from India. Right, there was a significant risk if you brought this animal with you. And so trying to make things convenient, the religious authorities, the religious leaders, they made it that you could just buy your animal in the temple courts. And in that court of the Gentiles, you could buy the animal that was certified, pre-approved, blemish-free, ready for sacrifice. Take out all the mess, take out all the fuss, take out all the worry, make it nice and easy, just come right to the court of the Gentiles, buy your animal, ready to go for sacrifice, no worries, no big deal. But the reality is that this place that is meant for all people to encounter God is that it has become a livestock auction. It's loud. It smells. And, unsurprisingly, the prices begin to get jacked up. Jesus overturned the tables of the money changers. See, one of the things that they had done in the temple in Jerusalem was they had developed their own coins. Because the problem with coinage in the ancient world was that every coin celebrated somebody. And many of those coins were in honor of the emperor, or they were in honor of a local god or goddess. And so here you have in Jerusalem at the temple, people coming from all over the world, from their own communities, with their coins that honor somebody other than the one true God. And so the religious authorities, the religious leaders, they didn't want to use this coinage that was honoring Caesar, or use this coinage that was honoring Zeus, or use this coinage that was honoring some other god. They didn't want to use that to worship the one true God. So they had their own coins. Well, if you have people coming all the way from India or all the way from Rome, you need to make it possible for them to get the temple coins. And so you set up currency exchange tables. But of course, as soon as you set up these tables, well, now you need to pay somebody to sit there and work the table, and now you need to pay somebody to sit there and monitor the going exchange rate between the Roman coin and the temple coin, and there's all sorts of costs and administrative fees, and before you know it, to come to this money changer table, you could expect a 25% fee on top of the exchange. The place that's supposed to be for anybody and everybody to encounter and worship God. Instead, it smells like animals, and they're being extorted just to come and worship God. And Jesus overturns the benches of those selling doves. You see, Leviticus chapter 14 tells us that the doves were the sacrifice that was reserved for the poorest of the poor. If you could afford nothing else, you can take two young doves. And so here we are in the court of the Gentiles, and we have for sale our certified, pre-approved, sacrifice-ready doves available to you at just a small upcharge for the convenience of coming and getting it in the temple courts. The place that is supposed to be the place where anybody and everybody can encounter the presence of God instead smells like animals, sounds like an auction block, and is full of people taking advantage of those who are simply trying to come and encounter God. Instead of seeing a place where people are worshiping God, what Jesus encounters is a place that has put up every barrier they can to keep people from encountering the presence of God. And so Jesus says, "It is written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." Now, when Jesus says, "My house will be called a house of prayer," he is quoting from Isaiah chapter 56. And Isaiah chapter 56 is one of the most amazing passages in all of Scripture, because Isaiah chapter 56 talks about those who were on the outside of the kingdom of God finding a home on the inside. Those who were excluded find themselves included. Those who were kept out are now brought in. So in Isaiah chapter 56, it is there that God says to the eunuchs, who were neither male nor female, they were men who could go into female spaces, that God says to the eunuchs, "You will find a home in my kingdom." In Isaiah chapter 56, God says to those who are worshiping him from all the nations, he says, "You will come to my house, and my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." Isaiah chapter 56 is about God removing the barriers that are keeping people who are on the outside from coming and worshiping God. Isaiah chapter 56 is this beautiful picture that those who were excluded are now included. Those who were on the outside are now on the inside. And this is what Jesus points to. He says, "You're making this place a den of thieves." And as soon as Jesus does this, he drives out the money changers, the dove sellers, those buying and selling. What happens is the blind and the lame come to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. Right, Jesus clears out the money changers, those who are buying and selling. He clears out those who are selling doves. And what happens is that those who were kept outside of the temple immediately come in. Because we know from other stories that the blind and the lame, they hung around the gates of the temple. Jesus clears the barriers and those who need healing come. Jesus clears the barriers so that anybody can come and encounter the presence of God. And as he does this, the kids are making a ruckus and they're shouting Hosanna to the Son of David. They're being kids, and this isn't a society where kids are to be seen and not heard, but here in the temple courts, they are shouting Hosanna to the Son of David. You know, just a little aside, one of my favorite things is the noise of kids in church. One of the most amazing things that I can think of is when my child says to me at the end of a Sunday, I don't want to go home, I want to stay at church. Because if my kid feels at home here in this place, I can think of nothing better as a dad that I want for my kids than for them to know that church is a place where they are safe and comfortable and loved and where they can encounter the presence of God. But who is it that's indignant? The religious authorities. The ones who have been here. The ones who are in positions of religious authority. The ones for whom they were the ones that got to sort of set the standard for the temple. And they're indignant. Jesus goes into the court of the Gentiles, the place of the temple that is meant for anybody and everybody to come and encounter the presence of God, and he removes all the barriers that would keep anybody from encountering God. He goes and he takes out the money changers and the dove sellers, those who are buying and selling, to make space for the outsiders to come in, to make space for those who had been excluded to feel included, to make space for those who had been kept outside to find a welcome home inside. I think that's the heart of church. At the center of the Christian story is this amazing good news that Jesus is alive. The party that is Easter morning. That God is fixing what's broken everywhere, and that healing and restoration of all things isn't just for me, it isn't just for you, it isn't just for our family, it isn't just for our denomination, it isn't just for our church, it is for absolutely everybody to hear, to know, and to encounter that Jesus is alive again. And he gives us life. And if Easter is the party at the center of the Christian story, just like if I'm going to host a party at my house, one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to go through and we're going to clean up. We're going to pick up the toys that are littered everywhere. We're going to run the vacuum. We're going to wipe down the countertops. We're going to at least try to make our house somewhat presentable before you show up at our home. Just like we would clean to get ready for a party, I think that the season of Lent invites us to do a little bit of spiritual spring cleaning. To ask ourselves, not just, how can I have a 40-day diet plan? To ask ourselves, not just, how can I deepen my relationship with God? Though that is a wonderful thing to ask. But to ask ourselves, in this season of Lent, how can we help somebody else encounter God? What is there in my life, in your life, in our life together as a church that is keeping somebody from encountering Jesus? And whatever it is, clean it up. I want to start by saying that that's complicated. It's actually a lot harder than we would think it is. And it's complicated in part because sometimes something that is helpful for one person may actually be difficult or harmful for somebody else. All right, I think back to one time I was preaching and I had asked an artist friend of mine to do a chalk drawing that accompanied the sermon. He had my outline, so he was doing artwork live while I was preaching in a way that matched the flow of my sermon. After that service, lots of people came up to me to talk about it. About half the people came up to me and said, that was amazingly helpful. I could follow you so much better. It gave me something to watch, and it gave me that thing to just help everything click and come together. You could do that every week, and I would be so happy. Half the people said that. Half the people came up to me and said, that was the most distracting thing you ever could have done. Never, ever, ever do that again. Right? The same thing for some people was helpful. For some people, helped draw them closer to God. For some people, helped them encounter the presence of Jesus. And for other people, made it harder. It's complicated. Some of us are fed and nourished when we celebrate the Lord's Supper by remaining in our seats and having the elements come past us. Some of us are fed and nourished when we come forward together and bring the elements back to our seats. And some of us are fed and nourished when we come forward and we eat the bread and drink the juice right where we are up front. You know, it's going to, once something's going to help some of us and not others of us, that's how it goes. And so it's complicated sometimes. It's hard sometimes to know how do we make decisions in such a way as to help invite other people to encounter Jesus. It's complicated because sometimes we might start out with the best of intentions and yet have it go somewhere that it's not meant to. I genuinely believe that the money changers at the temple actually started for a good reason. It started out of a pious decision and a desire to honor God by not having foreign coins and having coins that honored foreign gods present in the temple of God. But what started as something good became a barrier to people encountering the presence of God. I think of a church that had a Wednesday night dinner, something like ours, and they had a suggested donation amount for that dinner. And they had a box where you could put your suggested donation. And that box was right at the entrance to the place where the dinner was held. Now, out of a desire to be good stewards and not have that money go missing, they had somebody stationed right there just to keep an eye on the box. But I can tell you that if you came into that room and you did not have the money for that suggested donation, nobody said you couldn't come in, but you felt awful as you walked past that box with the guard standing there staring at you as you didn't put money in the box. What was meant for the best intentions in the end actually had this unintended consequence of barricading and preventing people from encountering the presence of God. Sometimes it's complicated because we might act out of our deep convictions and out of our deep passion for something that is near and dear to our heart and our journey of faith without even realizing that the way that we talk about that or the way that we are posturing ourselves publicly or the way that we are talking about it on Facebook is actually having the impact of driving people away from Jesus. It's complicated. And yet I believe that Lent invites us, that this time of the year that we know as Lent invites us to look inside and to do that spiritual spring cleaning, to do that grace-filled spiritual self-inventory, to ask ourselves, what in my life is keeping somebody from encountering the presence of God? And whatever it may be, get rid of it. Because if somebody looks at my life and they see anger and bitterness, then how are they going to know that the fruit of the Spirit is peace and gentleness? I'll be honest, I felt myself convicted of that this week as I was trying to convince my child to leave school at the end of the day, and I'm shouting from the top of the hill, please come to the car. And I thought to myself, what do I look like? Does somebody else see in this moment, in the way that I'm interacting with my own child, do they see somebody who is transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ? So if we're angry, take it out. Offer it to Jesus. If somebody sees us proclaiming Jesus as King and Lord of our lives on Sunday, but then in the course of our work week, they watch as we cut corners. Or it's tax season, And we sit down and the numbers just happen to be as advantageous as possible, while technically still within the confines of the law. And yet we find ourselves just moving the numbers around just a little bit. If somebody sees us acting in such a way that there is a lack of integrity and a disconnect between who we are on Sunday and who we are the rest of the week, then how are they to know that Jesus is Lord not just of our Sunday morning, but Lord of our entire life? So whatever it is, take it out and offer it to Jesus. Easter is the party. Easter is the heart of the Christian story, the celebration to which we are all looking forward. But in these weeks leading up to Easter, we have an opportunity to do that self-inventory, that grace-filled spiritual spring cleaning, to ask ourselves whatever there is that is keeping someone else from encountering Jesus, and to bring it to the cross. Because that's what Jesus has done with the mess and the muck and the mire and the brokenness of our lives. Because Jesus cleared the way so that we all can come to Him. No matter what it is that we have in our heart, in our lives, in our past, Jesus has cleared the way so that we all can come and encounter the presence of God. When Jesus was crucified, that veil, that curtain that divided the most holy place from the rest of the temple was torn in two, and all people can come and encounter the presence of God through the grace of Jesus Christ, because Jesus has taken my sin and what I've done wrong and my anger and my ways that I am preventing others from seeing Him, and He has taken it on Himself. And He has borne it on the cross so that I can be forgiven, so that I can have life now and forever. So whatever it is that somebody else might see that would keep them from encountering the presence of God in our lives as individuals, as a church, take it out. Clean it up. And bring it to the foot of the cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give You thanks that You have cleaned up the mess of our lives, that You have given us forgiveness, and that You bring peace and wholeness. And so, God, we pray that You would just help us to see whatever it is that's keeping us, whatever it is that's keeping somebody else from encountering Your presence in our lives. Help us to see wherever we are standing in the way of somebody else encountering You. And help us to clean it up, to take it out, and to bring it to the cross. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We all say together. Invite you to